Now let's see what kind of flesh that Jesus had. Let's come to Romans the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God having sent his own Son in the likeness, in the Greek this is homoiomati, which means the exact sameness, now notice, of sinful flesh. Now the Greek here means the likeness of sin of flesh. For what? And the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, in whose flesh was sin condemned? Jesus' flesh. How was that accomplished? Okay, hold your place here and we'll come back. Let's come to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, okay. And let's look at what Jesus said. Now, sometimes we read these things and it doesn't register until we put it together. All right. Verse 21, Revelation 3. To the one who overcomes. Now, what does it mean to overcome? It means overcome sin, overcome self, overcome Satan, right? Okay. Will I give authority to sit with me in my throne? Now notice this next phrase. Even as I also overcame. What did Jesus have to overcome? Eh? If he was 100% God, he would have nothing to overcome, correct? Okay. Even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. All right, back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh. How could he condemn sin in the flesh unless he had full human nature with the capacity to sin, if he would have chosen to sin? And wasn't his overcoming greater than ours? Yes, indeed. Because what did he receive from Mary? He received human nature, just like we have. Now, how does Paul define human nature? All right, chapter 7. This will help us. Here's how we overcome, right? Here we are going along, and everything is just fine, and all of a sudden, God does something to us, so we come to the realization of what sin is, right? And we find out that sin results in death. Okay. Then we find out, okay, let's come here to verse 9. I was once alive without law. That means he was living his life without the full knowledge of the truth of God. As a Pharisee, he had all kinds of laws, but not the laws of God. But after the commandment came, that is, he understood what the commandment really meant. Sin revived. He could see sin in himself. Question. Before you were converted, you know there were things that weren't right with you, but did you know that it was sin or not? No, you didn't know. When did you become stricken with the guilt of sin? When you understood what sin really was, right? Yes. Sin revived, and I died. How did he die? The death of baptism. Because he had to be alive to write this, right? Was Paul resurrected from the dead? No. He died physically to the world through the symbolic death and the covenant death of baptism. All right, verse 10. And the commandment which was meant to life was found to be unto death for me, because sin, having taken the opportunity by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Wages of sin is death. There it is explained in a little different way. Therefore, the law is indeed holy. Nothing wrong with the law. It's holy. And the commandment holy, righteous, and good. Now then, did that which is good become death to me? May it never be. But sin, in order that it might truly be exposed as sin in me by that which is good, see, the sin was working out death. You don't know what sin is until you have the goodness of God's law, which says, you shall not, you shall not. See? So that by means of the commandment, sin might become exceedingly sinful. How does sin become exceedingly sinful? When you understand the sin begins within, in the mind, in the heart, right? Yes. That's where sin resides, right here. What did Jesus say? Let's go back here to Mark, the 7th chapter, and let's see what Jesus said concerning human nature. Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 20. And he said, that which springs forth from within a man, that defiles the man. Because we are going to see human nature defined by Paul as a law. A two-part law of sin and death. Okay? So without the Spirit of God, the things that come from within a man, that defiles the man. For within, out of the hearts of men proceed or go forth evil thoughts. Isn't that what you have to battle? Evil thoughts? Yes, indeed. Did Jesus have to overcome that? Yes, if he had human nature, he would have to. But he chose the right thing all the time, right? Evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, guile, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evils go forth from within, and these defile the man. Now that's what Paul means when he said, the commandment revived and I died. Because he saw sin was not the outward things of the actions that you do, but the inward things of the heart and mind where it originates. And it's the purpose and goal of God to change and convert the human mind so that we can overcome that human nature within by the power of God's Spirit. Okay, now back to Romans 7 again. Let's read this again. That sin might become exceedingly sinful. Now verse 14. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, having been sold as a slave under sin. Because what I'm working out myself, isn't this true? Have you ever done things and then you ask yourself, why did I do that? Yes, I've done that. You know, sometimes you're honest and you say, stupid. You know. Okay. Because what I'm working out myself, I do not know. For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. Now, you can overcome that, can't you? How? With God's Spirit, God's commandments. That's why they're to be written in our hearts and in our minds, right? Yes, we can overcome it. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. This is the pull of the flesh. Now, did Jesus have the pull of the flesh yet not sin? He would have had to have. See? By choice, he had to always choose God's way completely. All right, let's go on. Now notice how he comes to understand this even more. But if I'm doing what I do not desire to do, I agree with the law that it's good, because that tells me what I'm doing is wrong. So then I am no longer working it out myself. Rather, it is sin that is dwelling within me. And this is the hard thing to really understand. We have by nature an existence that is sin and death mixed in with good. And this is what is the pull of life. And this is why everything that human beings do eventually all wear down and corrupt and become worthless. Sin, but sin that is dwelling is within me. Because I fully understand that there is not dwelling within me, that is within my fleshly being, any good. Now remember what Jesus told the rich man. When the rich man said, "Good master," he said, "Why call me good? There's no one good but God." That is telling us he had to have the law of sin within him, but never sin. So his challenge and his life was much more, how should we say, demanding than ours, correct? Because there would be no sacrifice to pay for his sin, right? None. Okay. For the desire to do good is present within. We always intend to do good, you know. Who was it told me that they were responsible for their house burning down? You know, only desired to do good, but the house burned down. But how to work out that which is good, I do not find. You can't find the answers to life, to sin, to death, by human philosophy, human works, human religions. It's not there. It's never going to work. See? Jesus said he is the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? Now here's the conundrum. For the good that I desire to do, I'm not doing. But the evil that I do not desire to do, this I'm doing. That's why we are to overcome, bring every thought into captivity, you see. But if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer, I am no longer working it out within me, but sin that is dwelling within me. Now, verse 21, let's notice what he calls us. Consequently, I find this law in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. For I delight in the law according to the inward man, but I see another law within my own members warring against the law of my mind and leading me into captivity to the law of sin which is within my own members. Now this will help us understand when we reread verse 3 in chapter 8. So we understand the magnitude of what Jesus did. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, on the one hand, I serve the law of God with my mind, but on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin." In other words, when he does sin, it's because it's within, but that means that he has to repent to get right with God. Consequently, now here's the good news for us. Verse 1. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Repentance, baptism, receiving of the Holy Spirit. Who are not walking according to the flesh. You're not living by the dictates of your human nature. You're following the laws and commandments of God. You're being led by the Spirit of God. You're growing and changing and overcoming. See? Not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because, now here's another law to supersede the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Not something? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Now, what is that? That's the whole operation of how the Spirit of God works within us. Okay? Has delivered me from the law of sin and death, meaning you can overcome it. Through the power of God's Spirit, you can overcome. People in the world can't do it. That's why over a period of time, what happens? Standards go down and down and down and down and down because human nature can't keep those laws. What is it now? We'll just take one example. You shall not commit adultery. It's been taken down so much that people look at someone who says you shall not commit adultery as what kind of stupid person are you? See?
Yeah.
Because it's impossible for human nature without the Spirit of God to meet the standard of do not commit adultery and do not commit it in your mind. See? That's what Jesus was talking about. So the change is within. Now, let's read verse 3 again. For what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh. If you have the laws of God here, even the laws of the land, okay? Human nature is so sinful by itself, it can't really keep them. Not true? Now, no law can make you do anything, though you know it. For example, they're now trying to find that the reason for human promiscuity is because you have a gene that causes it. Okay. How about doing that for thievery? Well, we can do that for lying, can't we? See, the truth is, the law of sin and death is in us. So they're on to something, but they're going at it the wrong way. They're saying, well, if it's genetic, why fight it? See, rather than saying, well, if it's genetic, it's because there's a law of sin and death within you, and God expects you to overcome it with his help and with his Spirit. So what did God do? God went above and beyond. All right? This is why he had to cry out with strong cry and tears. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness, now that means the exact sameness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus had to have had the law of sin and death within him, okay? Question. Did he have the law of death in him? Yes, he died, okay? Had to have the law of death in him, otherwise he wouldn't have died, okay? Was Jesus tempted, but yet without sin? Yes. But if, having the law of sin and death, the law of sin within him, and yet having the Spirit of God and the power of God to choose rightly every time to never sin, even though he was tempted, does that not condemn sin in Jesus' flesh? Yes. So this is what it's talking about here, you see. Now, why did he do this? To pay for the sins of all mankind, correct? Whether repented of or not, he still had to pay for it. There will be those who will end up in the lake of fire because their choice was not to obey God or repent. But he still paid for their sins because they had the sinful nature that came from Adam right on down to us, called the law of sin and death. Okay, now here, verse 4. This is why we're not under condemnation. In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not something? A complete change. Now this is why when we come to understand the way of God and come to repentance and come to the knowledge of the truth, that's why we have to be baptized and conjoined into the death of Christ. See? Come back here to Romans, the 6th chapter, and let's see something here. And the only way we can meet a spiritual standard is with the Spirit of God. And the only way we can overcome sin is with the Spirit of God. So this is why there is baptism. Let's pick it up here in verse 1, Romans 6. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. We who died to sin, that's how Paul died. Remember he said, sin revived and I died? Okay. You die to sin. How shall we live any longer therein? You can't do it. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? See, because his death, having never sinned, though carrying the law of sin and death within him, made him the same as human nature. And see what a tremendous thing that God did in doing that. See? It wasn't a waltz through the park like a lot of people think. It required all the effort of God. Okay? We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism. There's only one baptism, see? Into the death. Doesn't that tie in with Hebrews, the 2nd chapter? The very death of Christ. So that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we should also walk in newness of life, for if we've been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, so also shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, you can read the rest of Romans, the 6th chapter, and see how we're to overcome. So then Christ had to carry within him, as a human being, the law of sin and death. Therefore, that's why he said, don't call me good master. That's why Paul said, in my flesh there is nothing good. See? So God gave himself a tremendous challenge to overcome, so that as we come here to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and we will end here, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and now we can explain more fully this verse, the very last verse. The very last verse in 2 Corinthians 5. For he made him who knew no sin. Now, knew means did not have sin by experience. He did not experience sinning himself. Who knew no sin, to be sin for us, by having the law of sin and death within him and never sinning, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, when we understand this, we can follow through. Let's go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Let's look at just a few more verses here. Brethren, this helps us in understanding how we need to overcome and how we need to rely on the Spirit of God and be led of the Spirit of God. to change, to grow, to overcome, ask God to be with us and lead us. Okay. Now notice. Verse 14, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Okay, verse 14. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations, yet he was without sin. By choice, by putting down every temptation, by bringing every thought into captivity to God the Father. Okay, that's how he did it. That same power is available to us through the Holy Spirit, though not in the same degree that it was with Christ. Okay, notice what we are to do then. Therefore, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, let's go back to 1 John, the fourth chapter. And let's look at this again and answer the question the way it should be. 1 John 4. Now, you try this. We know the Catholics don't believe this. When they say, oh, he came in the flesh, they even go one step further and say that Mary was immaculately conceived so that there wouldn't be, they understand about the law of sin within, so that they call it the stain of Adam's sin upon the soul. Okay. So therefore, they say, though Jesus came in the flesh, he couldn't have sinned. That's not what it's talking about here in the light of what we've already covered, see? All right, chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are from God. Also, there are many what? There are antichrists out there too, right? Yes. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this test, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, meaning that he had the same human nature that we have, but still never sinned. Any other determination is a different kind of flesh. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was to come, and even now is already in the world, and we see the full blossom of it today in what the religions of the Antichrist are. It's amazing. So that's the kind of flesh that Jesus had. When it talks about Jesus in the flesh, and there are many other scriptures we can use about the flesh of God and how that is a phenomenal thing that God did.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.